speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
If you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 John 3 once again this evening, because we want to read again verse 7 and verses following here, 1 John 3. John is writing to Christians, and we need to always be aware of that. And he calls them as if he were their father, and perhaps in the faith he could say that. My little children, he says, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is begotten of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is begotten of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message which ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now in the beginning, and from that time, we see the devil busy. He not only tempted Adam and Eve, but he also tempted Cain. He, with the hatred which Cain had for his brother, caused him, when his worship was not accepted, because it wasn't as God commanded, to rise up and kill his brother, take his blood, take his life. And of course, God said in Genesis 6:9, whoso taketh man's blood with his own blood shall he pay the price. Here it says Cain was of the wicked one. He was of the evil one. And he said the way we can know the difference in the children of God and the children of the devil is that the children of God are righteous. They do those things which God commands. All of thy commandments are righteousness, says the psalmist. But those who don't do the commandments of God are not righteous. That's so simple to see, isn't it? And therefore they sin. Therefore they are of the devil. So it's not hard to see in the world who serves God and who serves the devil. So today we've been giving our thoughts to those things concerning Satan and the real dangers that he brings to us in our lives. We realize, of course, that we're warned about him, that we're warned that he is indeed full of lies. He is the one who is a murderer from the beginning. He is the one whom we're warned is a very difficult and wrong enemy of ours. He is one who, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, we don't like to talk about Satan. We don't like to talk about hell. But you know it is necessary to talk about hell, because hell is the black backdrop in the picture of heaven. If we did not see hell, we wouldn't appreciate heaven, would we? And the same is true with the devil. If we did not see the devil and his works, we wouldn't appreciate God's works. And especially John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. We have taken care today to try to show you who the devil is. We've taken care today to show you how he works in our lives, but we won't extend that tonight. And then again, we want to answer the question, is there help to overcome the devil and all of his temptations? You know, if we don't understand these things, then we shall not be on guard. We shall not even know until the devil has taken us to hell that we've been servants of the devil and therefore belong there. Hell is made for the devil and for his angels, Matthew 25 says. And so if we go there, it wasn't made for us, but it was made for them, and we'll go with them because we have not been righteous. We understand that the Bible reveals all that we know about the devil, that he was a created being, that although the Bible does not detail the account, it tells us that all things were created by God. All things were good when they were created, but some became evil. And angels which left their first estate, Peter says, were committed to chains of darkness, reserved there for the judgment. So we understand that Satan fell after he was created by God, but he didn't fall out of heaven. He never was in heaven. All things that were created, in heaven and earth, indeed, were there. There were celestial angels and there were terrestrial angels. But the terrestrial angels were those of the earth, and the celestial those of heaven. So we understand that evidently the devil was of this world. When asked where he had been in the book of Job, he said he had been to and fro upon the earth. And of course, he was trying to take temptation to all that He could. He confronts you and He confronts me. And temptation is real, temptation is difficult, and it, of course, is appealing to us, or it wouldn't be temptation. And the world and the works that are therein, the flesh and the devil, all are trying to keep us out of heaven. This is not something, then, that is just a make-believe. The devil is not something that is a figment of man's imagination, but the devil is indeed a personage, just as God and Christ and the Holy Spirit are, but he's not eternal. And he is not divine as they are. And, of course, he does have power. We don't want to underestimate him. And, of course, it is true that the recent exposures that we have seen in the Catholic Church indeed are caused by Satan. Not only there, but all denominational bodies. When you see those who depart from the truth and walk in error, you see those who are walking in the devil's footsteps. The devil doesn't want you to think there's anything wrong with living for him. And so he soothes your conscience, as it were, by saying, well, I'll live like I want to live. But Jesus is the Son of God. He's the embodiment of truth. And those who walk in him can be saved. Those who reject him will follow the devil. And because of that, they will be lost. Satan, of course, as we've said before from this pulpit, cannot make us do anything. And God will not make us do anything because we're free moral agents. But Jesus identified some religious folks in his day in John the 8th chapter, verse 44. Notice what he says. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. Well, those who are under his influence then live like him. Those who are under his influence do not pay any attention to the Lord. They don't listen to God. They don't think they need the Bible. They are indeed those who believe that possibly they can be all right just as long as they're honest and sincere. Just as Paul said, though, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant because the New Testament gives us warning about him. And we are told, of course, to guard against him. And there are many lessons that are here in John 8. First of all, we learn here that ye are of your father the devil. Means there's some who had the same temper. They had the same disposition, the same spirit as the devil. And so they were of their father. Just as God is the Father, the source of all of our spiritual blessings and life here and life in Christ, he's the source of all of that because the source leads his people. So Satan is also a father. He is the source. He is the source of evil. He is the source that leads those people who follow him in his evil ways and desires, and they embrace and follow him and do what he wants done. They are tempted of the world, and Satan, of course, has absolutely no respect for the souls of men. He does not want anything except from the beginning to get rid of them. He knows they serve God, but if he can get them to serve him by pulling them away from God, getting them to be unrighteous, then he knows that he is able to take them to eternal hell. The truth is nothing to him. He does not have any interest in the truth. In fact, there's no truth in him. Every word that he speaks is a lie. And every lie that he tells, of course, is extended to deceive and destroy. And, of course, in this same manner, we find that those who follow him lie also. You wouldn't believe that Christians lie, would you? And yet Paul knew that some did. In Colossians 3:9, he said, lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man of sin and his doings. So if we're still lying, it shows that we haven't gotten rid of the old man of sin. He's still abiding there. We're still following Satan. We're still living for him and giving him our allegiance. So lying is proof that the old man of sin is still with us. And yet, since we know that for the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars, Revelation 21:8 said they'll have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, where is Satan going at the end of this time? He's going into hell. What is hell? Well, it's the second death. It's where the fire and the brimstone are never quenched. The worm never dies. And so we learn that he's going there, but so are all the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and all liars. We know we must be very careful then about our choice about whom we're going to serve, don't we? We need to be sure that we choose to serve the Lord and not Satan. For if we live as certain servants of sin, following the devil, there's no doubt where we're going to spend eternity. There is but one place where that shall be, and that is hell. Matthew 25:46, he said, these, talking of the righteous, shall go away into everlasting life, but the others, are those who are wicked, shall go into everlasting destruction. And it's possible for one to follow the Lord for a while and then turn back into the world. That's what Peter said. They're like the dog returning to his own vomit, or the sow that was washed or wallowing in the mire. Satan, then, is one to be dealt with. He's a very powerful being. He's an intelligent being. And he is one who can pull us away, if we so let him, from that which is righteous and good in the world. Oh, you say, he'd never pull me away. But remember the words of Paul, let a man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And remember, too, that one of the Lord's chosen disciples fell. Judas, you recall that Acts 1:17-25 says that he who was once a part of them, he has now fallen, and he has gone, it says, to his own place. Now, where did he go? Well, he didn't go to heaven. He went to his own place, though. And what is his own place except hell itself? Now, Jesus not only said, you're of your father the devil, he is also going to tell us that there's no truth in him. But when he talks about the father of the devil in John 8:44, he is telling us there in direct language exactly what we are and why we are that way. And that's not without thought on his part. He's not just throwing out something here, but he is showing us that men who serve the Lord are wholly under his influence. Men who serve the devil are wholly under his influence. And so they intend to follow his ways just as their father had done before them. And Jesus said here, the lust of your father, it is your will to do. In other words, you choose to do that. You choose to do the will of the devil. Well, in the world, of course, there are great lusts and desires which men have, and they want to do those things. Hollywood helps you. Hollywood, of course, draws out before you all the temptations they can. They want to destroy every moral that they possibly can. Oh, where do you reckon that comes from? Well, it doesn't come from God. It comes rather from the devil. So when we think about that, man determines to allow Satan to rule his lives, if his life, and if he does, he is the father. Indeed, they follow him. They're devoted to him. And all liars, of course, possess his spirit. They're under his influence. And the Apostle Peter wrote about some Christians whose character, he said, had turned wicked. They weren't born that way, but they were turned that way under Satan's control. Listen to him closely. Having eyes full of adultery, which cannot cease to sin, cursed children. He said, a heart have they exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. 2 Peter 2:14. How did they become that way? Weren't born that way, but they left the right way of the Lord, entered into the devil's kingdom. So the Christian needs to know that he can fall from grace, doesn't he? Galatians 5:4, Paul said of the Galatian brethren, ye are fallen from grace. So the Christians began again to walk in worldly lust. They had escaped from that. Now they're going back to walk in it again. And that pathway that's drawn out, of course, by their father, the devil. Now, John warned of those avenues of Satan. We've talked about this before. 1 John 2:15-17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Now, here are these eyes, the eyes of understanding, who have the lust and desire for those things which are not in harmony with God's will. Sin is transgression of the law. The devil wants you to transgress. He doesn't want you to do that. He did that with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, thou shalt not surely die. And of course, Eve, because of that, partook of that fruit. Then she gave to her husband Adam, and he partook of that fruit. And her influence over him was not good. Son of God was approached in the same way in Matthew 4 when he was tempted. And as well it is with us today. We are approached by one of those three avenues. Now, if you don't guard against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, you're very likely to fall under the devil's clutches. You're very likely to fall under his influence. And having a knowledge of these things, we should be forearmed because we're forewarned. But then let's look even further. Jesus said Satan was a murderer. A murderer. Did Satan take anyone's life? Well, it was not allowed to take Job's life, I know. When God said, look at my servant Job, he said, he is a faithful servant. Satan said he won't be if you'll take away that hedge from around him. He said, I will let you try him anyway, except you cannot take his life. Well, God has power over Satan then, and yet it says here that Satan was a murderer, and he said that was from the beginning. So what is he talking about here, but in that he brought death to the first pair? That Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were there with no sickness, no sorrow, no death. But now sickness and sorrow and death enter in because they ceased to follow God's will and they followed Satan's will. So in noticing Genesis 2:17, we realize that they brought death and sickness and sorrow into the world. And it was because of sin. And so in noticing this, Satan knew what God would do. He knew exactly what God would do. He knew that God would drive them out of that garden. Now, when the Bible says here in Genesis 3:24 that God drove them out, it shows they didn't want to leave. They didn't want to leave, but God drove them out because they weren't fit to be there anymore. That's where the tree of life was. That's where the water of life was. And that's been the place we've striven to get back to ever since. And there is a place where that tree is and where that water is. And of course, that's heaven. But Satan here became the first, but not the last, to be a changer of God's word, didn't he? Thou shalt not surely die. You know, Paul said, that'll cause the destruction of people. I marvel, he said, that you so soon remove from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what Satan did, wasn't it? He perverted that which God has said. So here are those today who still pervert these things. And God said, if they sinned, they would surely die. Satan said, they shall not surely die. One of which is right. Not hard to decide that, is it? Now, the change was only one word. Do you suppose just one little word, one little three-letter word would make any difference? Well, it made the difference in whether they were in Eden or out. And my friends, it seems awfully strange to me that some people will say today, oh, these new things are just opinion. I had some people just recently tell me that, and they were elders of the church. And I said, my friend, these are not matters of opinion. These are matters of doctrine. Now, Satan could have said, oh, that's your opinion. But Adam and Eve found out that this wasn't a matter of opinion. You know, though no man has been or is today guilty of another sin, we are guilty of our own sin. We're not guilty of Adam's sin, but sin was introduced into the world by Adam. And of course it was brought, that which was sickness and sorrow and death, to all who followed in that step of sin which Adam did. So Satan was the instigator of Cain killing Abel. He was the instigator of Eve sinning in the garden and giving that fruit to Adam. He was the instigator. And 1 John 3:12 that we read in the beginning says, he was of the wicked one, Cain was, when he slew Abel. Well, in other words, the wicked one was in command here, wasn't he? He was the one that took charge. And you know, sin always brings death to those who practice it. You remember Ezekiel 18:20? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not be guilty of the father's iniquity, nor shall the father be guilty of the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the iniquity of the wicked shall be upon him. So Satan seduced these first parents. Therefore, he's called a murderer from the beginning. And that's what Jesus said in John 8, verse 44. Romans 5:12, Paul said, it's through one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed unto all men for that all have sinned. And in 1 Corinthians 15:22, Paul said, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Well, what mankind lost in the first Adam, he regained in the second. The first Adam, of course, sinned, went after the devil. But the second Adam, Jesus, was the Savior of all who will obey Him. And so we learn from Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that will obey him. Now, third of all here in John 8:44, Jesus said not only is he a murderer from the beginning, he said there is no truth in him. Revelation 12:9 said he deceiveth the whole world. And indeed, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to deceive. Now, you don't have to be deceived if you will read the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth will make you free, John 8:32. So if you're willing to do that, even though there's no truth in Satan, you don't have to be under his authority. In fact, he's the number one liar in the world. Now, you've heard of number ones in many things, but have you ever heard of the number one liar? Well, here he is. He has no truth in him. He departed from the truth is what made him evil. And, of course, not only is Satan the murderer of men who follow him, Jesus also warns here that there is no truth in him, and so he has complete disregard for the truth. He doesn't have any regard for... You know anybody like that? Do you know when people have no regard for the truth, they're following Satan? Because Satan, there is no truth in him, and if people disregard the truth today, or any of the truth that may benefit the world, they're just like Satan, aren't they? The grace of God teaches us, Titus 2:11-12, but the devil doesn't want you to know that. You know he is completely against the truth, and his lies, of course, originate with him. He's the originator of it. He's the father, he says, of all lies. He is the originator of all lies, and all who follow him, of course, in his lies, they're condemned in the sight of God, as we read in Revelation 21:8. That second death is going to get them. They'll be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. You know the devil's only one connection to the truth? That is to oppose it. And when you find opposers of the truth, you find those who are walking in the devil's way. Indeed, you may think, well, I know, but you know, you can't say too bad about them. They're just opposing the truth. Well, who do they follow? They don't follow the Lord in doing that. They have to follow Satan. Now, the Jews refused to believe that Jesus was the embodiment of truth, even though John 1:14 says, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, but they didn't want to receive Jesus, and therefore, they were children of the devil. Why? Because they were under His influence. Don't miss it, my friends. When they rejected the truth, it was to their own destruction. Jesus said in John 8:21, I'm going away, and you're going to seek me, but you won't find me. Because where I go, you can't come. And in verse 24, He said, I said unto you, except ye believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. And it's true, my friends, that those who reject the truth do it to their own destruction. Now, Paul didn't mince words with Elymas either. He said, thou child of the devil, how long wilt thou turn away men from the faith? O full of all subtlety, all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? Acts 13, verse 6 through 13. Now you know as well as I do that there are only two things an honest man can do when he hears the truth. Either he accepts it or he becomes dishonest. Either he accepts it to walk in the Lord's will and way, or he just determines that he's going to stay in the devil's way. The devil speaks no truth. He has no truth in him. And how sad it is to know of men who have spent a lifetime fighting the truth. It would be so easy to believe what the Bible says. It's revealed clearly. But some completely reject the truth, even that Jesus is the Christ. You know, Romans 1:4 says He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And just as in other teaching, they reject that. They don't accept that. They love their own way. They love their own plans of righteousness. And so they overlook the truth for something of superstition, something of experience. They say, I'd rather have an experience than to have a whole stack of Bibles. I want a good feeling. And they reject the counsel of God, according to Paul and Barnabas, against themselves. Acts 13:45-46. And they being ignorant of God's righteousness, as Paul said in Romans 10:1-3, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, after God's fields have all failed, then we find that to turn the sinner from the error of his way is not possible, and God's going to give them up. God's only appeal is through His Word that declares His Son. But Romans 1, verse 24, 26, 28, three times He said He gave them up. When they determine to do their own will, when they determine to follow the things of the world, when they determine to go after those things which were of the flesh, it says God gave them up. And Paul said they professed themselves to be wise, but they became fools. Rather than believe the truth, these people then believe the lies of Satan to the loss of their souls. You know, when one doesn't love the truth, he's going to love something. He's going to follow something. And so when he doesn't love the truth, he's in a deplorable condition because there's no truth in him either. If he doesn't love the truth, he's following Satan. Satan doesn't love it. There's no truth in him, and there's no truth in one who doesn't follow the Lord. So a man who won't keep his word is a man who is of Satan and not the Lord. Now, what's the world's view of Satan? Just briefly tonight in closing, what is the world's view of Satan? You know, it's noted, I think, that the world thinks Satan looks a certain way. Now, where did that come from, that Satan has alligator skin, that he has a red suit, that he has horns on his head, that he has wings on his back? Where is it said that he has a pitchfork in his hand? Where is it said that he has an arrow-like thing on his tail? You know, all of this stuff is just imagination. And the image, of course, if anybody saw one like that, scare him to death, wouldn't it? If you saw one like that tonight, would you listen to him? Would you say, listen, I want to follow you? You'd say, woo, I don't want to be close to that thing. You know, the devil would like for you to believe that all of this that people make up in their minds is about truth. They want you to believe that indeed he is an ugly looking fellow, and he wants to deceive you, but you're going to know him because you see his red suit, you see his horns, and you see his tail, and you see his pitchfork. Well, the devil would like for you to believe that, but that's not true. The devil's servant comes as the best-dressed person in the world. He's the most articulate speaker, and if possible, he may even wear a black beanie cap on his head to let you know how important he is and how separate he is from everybody else. And furthermore, he likes to be called reverend and rabbi and the right reverend and the right pastor and doctor. And any badge of distinction that he can get, he wants to have that because he wants men to recognize him above all others. Of course, the Lord condemned all of that. He may wear that long flowing robe. He may walk with the greatest of pageantry. But the Lord condemns that separation of one group from another, Matthew 23, verse 5 through 11. You know, one man said, don't pay any attention to the devil. He's just like Santa Claus. He's just your daddy dressed up in a red suit. Well, that's what the devil would like for you to believe. He'd like you to believe he's not dangerous. He's perfectly all right. He's just a man out here that has a red suit. He doesn't. He doesn't at all. Just man's imagination, but the devil approves it. You know what the Jews' view of Satan was? The Jews, of course, viewed Jesus. They wouldn't hear him for the same reason the men don't hear him tonight. They rejected the evidence. Satan blinded their minds. And so because of that, they had a mistaken view of Satan, and they had a mistaken view of the Lord. They thought the Lord was going to be a temporal king on an earthly throne, literal dwelling there. The law and the prophets had foretold them about the Messiah. They should have known of the spiritual kingdom. They beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. But Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book of Jehovah and read. None of these will lack its mate. They shall all have the fulfillment of those things, in other words, which have been predicted. But you know, the Jews refused the predictive element of the Old and New Testament. They rejected that. They rejected their own scriptures when they could have known about the Messiah. How came them to do that? Well, he wasn't what they expected. So they persecuted and killed him, the King of Glory. They became utterly antagonistic to the very spirit of the kingdom of Christ. He said, my kingdom is not of this world, John 18:36. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, Matthew 16:18 and verses following. What's wrong with these Jews? They followed the wrong father. They followed the wrong father. Who is their father? Well, it's not the Lord, it's not God. Because they wouldn't listen to God. Jesus said in John 8:42, if God were your Father, you would love me. If God were your Father, you would love me. Again, he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father, John 14:9. John 16:32, he said, I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. In John 8:29, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that are pleasing unto him. So when you see Jesus, you see the embodiment of truth. You see God, because all of the truth that God is in Christ. But the Satan with his help for man, caused the Jews to hate him, caused the Jews to spurn him, caused the Jews to think they could have their own way, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and they even rejected that invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. They wouldn't have it. But you know there's some tonight who won't have it either. Who are they following? Well, it's not the Lord. Two of those secret disciples were Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, you know. And they didn't follow Satan. But their father was not Satan. Their father was God. And they heard the words of Jesus. And they were able to understand what he taught them. And they wanted to obey it, but they were not blinded like the Jews were by their own sins and by their prejudice. You know, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid in them that perish, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should even dawn upon them. And Paul's commission was to go and open their eyes. But, you know, perversity and earthly notions will keep men from recognizing Jesus the Christ. Oh, he gave the evidence. He did many miracles and signs and wonders, which if you look at them, you can believe that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But if the devil closes your eyes, you won't see the beautiful place of heaven. You won't see the Father of all blessings and hope. You won't see the Savior of the world. And of course, where there is nothing that will defile, where there is not going to be a lie or works of abomination, that's heaven. Revelation 21:27. Only they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when John said, I saw the dead, the great and the small, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of the things written in the books. That was people who, of course, will be happy then that they followed the Lord and not Satan. The earth and the hosts that are here oftentimes are following the wrong father. And the devil that deceived them, Revelation 20 and 10 says, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets were, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Now, if you don't want to go where Satan wants you to go, you're going to have to cease to follow him. Cease to obey him. You're going to have to listen to God. At the judgment scene, he said in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire that's been prepared for the devil and for his angels. The Psalms say, I set before thee life and death. Choose life that you may live. And of course, Jesus said, enter ye in at the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. Many are they that enter in thereat. God and the devil, my friends, are opposing forces. They're as separate as the North Pole from the South. And if you want to follow any one of them, it's up to you. But Jesus said, enter ye in at the narrow gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereat. But narrow is the gate, and straitened is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Who are you following tonight? Satan or God? If you've been following Satan, why not put him out of your life? He can. You can stop him. You can do it just like Jesus did in Matthew 4. You can say, it is written. And I'll walk in the ways that my Lord has drawn out to the close of life, and then I'll go home to glory where I can dwell with him throughout all the endless ages. If that is your desire, will you come now? While together we stand and while we stand.